obviously that those in leadership here in Lecumfer want to develop this conversation in church about how we connect faith with the mental health issues that people face. And talking about mental health, it's everywhere these days, isn't it? You know, we see it on our TV screens, the things that we're looking up online, what we're hearing in the news. Anxiety, depression, grief, loneliness, eating disorders, agoraphobia, all kinds of issues that people are facing. The list is long. Even just this week, as I was looking online, these were some of the articles that I was coming across. One article said, cold water swimming helps reset the body and mind. I don't know if there's any cold water swimmers here. I live near Belfast Lough, and I see some brave, mostly women, I have to say, venturing into that lough on a regular basis. And there seems to be something about that just is a reset for them and just gets the endorphins flooding through their bodies and sets them up for the day. Something else I read was, should driving instructors become mental health therapists? Interesting, just this length of time that instructors spend with young people over a consecutive number of weeks, and just the relationship that is built there and some of the stories that they're hearing. Something else, festive period is a strain for people with OCD. And another headline was, I felt shame at having depression. So just, you don't have to look too far. You come across all of these stories, all of these headlines on a daily, week-by-week basis. If we move on to the next slide, this is a story that has been very much on the headlines this week, hasn't it? Prince Harry's biography, which has been leaked to the press, which none of us have read it, but it seems to describe a troubled man with a troubled mind who has had many challenging circumstances in his life over the years. Apparently it reflects unresolved grief over the loss of his mother, and actually drug taking as an attempt to escape some of the realities and the pain of life. So we see that issues of mental health are no respecter of fame or fortune or rank or title. These issues can come to any of us, no matter what walk of life we're from. So how do we as a church respond to what is a pandemic of mental health problems? How do we respond as a local church, this community that you have here in Lecumfer, and as individual believers in your relationships with other people? Well, the next slide then, we've looked at this passage in Corinthians, and it might not have been the first passage you thought we would have gone to in thinking about mental health, but it's a wonderful vision, isn't it, that Paul gives us for the local church, for God's church, the body of Christ, a community where each of us are needed and where each of us can be cared for, where one part is essential to the other part. So we all have a part to play in this glorious vision of God's church. So the body cannot actually function without each of you playing your part, the place where we care for one another out of love. And it's a place, we read in Corinthians 12, where God actually uses those who are weak, those who are struggling, those who feel at times that they are at the end of their rope. Verse 22, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. He actually uses the people who think they've nothing to offer, people who feel that they're useless, who think that they are in that kind of less presentable part of the body. And it's a community where God not only uses the weak, but everyone cares for one another. And verses 24 and 25, it says, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, verse 26, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So in our suffering, in our struggles, the struggles that we face, including our mental health issues, we are called as a body of believers to care for each other. Take an example. Let's call him Chris. Chris is in his late 20s, and he's just started work in a call centre. And he's been suffering from anxiety for a while, and this new job has brought the anxiety further to the surface. He feels that he's been measured by the number of sales that he makes on a daily basis. He lacks confidence about his ability to talk to the public, and he's really just been anxious even since coming out of lockdown. He's been paranoid about infection risks and about viruses that are out there, and so his OCD has kind of gone into overdrive. Chris will check switches and plugs before he leaves a room, maybe 3 or 4 times. And he ritualistically counts steps and stairs as he moves through his day. He feels like he's caught in this cycle of behaviour that he can't escape from. And it's becoming increasingly difficult for him to hide all of this from his friends and his family. And he's waiting for his boss in work to tackle him about his timekeeping. He's mounting anxiety, he feels overwhelmed, and he's trapped. And in that, Chris turns to pornography for escape. So life as a 20-something single man feels very overwhelming for him. And he's using pornography as a way out, as a means of escape from everything that is going on. But actually, as a Christian, this leaves Chris feeling overwhelmed with guilt. He feels contaminated, and yet he feels like he can't stop. Things are feeling out of control for him. So how do we begin to understand somebody like Chris? And how does God's vision for the church impact him? And it's, as we've said, it's a vision where everyone cares, from the youngest to the oldest, from those who are more articulate to those who are more hands-on, you know, from the listener right through to the doer and everywhere in between. And where does this care begin? Well, it actually begins in our relationship with God. Your relationships with each other are actually a reflection of your relationship with the Lord. And John teaches that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, where he says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." So actually, our love for one another is an expression of our love for the Lord. That vertical relationship that we have with the Lord is expressed horizontally in our love for each other. And if we fail to love each other, then actually that's an expression that we're actually failing to love the Lord. There's a deficiency in our relationship with Christ himself. So as we consider the local church addressing these issues of mental health, let us say 2 things, and we'll look at the next slide. First of all, simply, we need to offer help. And then secondly, we need to be prepared to ask for help ourselves. We need the humility to ask for help ourselves. We don't want to be the people who've got it all sorted, because actually we haven't. None of us really have. So how do we offer help? So Chris, we've thought about, he's struggling with his anxiety, he's struggling with OCD, and perhaps you notice that Chris hasn't been about church as often. He hasn't maybe been meeting for coffee the way he would, he's just been more withdrawn. And so you ask him how he is, and he simply says, "Look, I haven't been well, I've been to my GP, he's given me some pills for anxiety. Look, I'll be okay once the pills start to work." And it's almost as if Chris is giving you a wee bit of a brush off. How would you respond to that? Would you think, okay, he's wanting to keep his distance, so I'll just leave him there? Or maybe you think, well, he's on medication, so this is a medical problem. I shouldn't interfere with this. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I make things worse? Is that what Chris needs? Or does Chris need someone actually just to come alongside, not with all the answers, not necessarily knowing all the right things to say, but just knowing that there is someone who's coming alongside, who wants to listen, who wants to show that he cares? So maybe you might say, "Well, tell me how it's really going for you at the minute. What are you finding most difficult, Chris, in all of this? Do you want to meet for a coffee and we could chat a little bit more about it?" Or what about that question, "Chris, how can I pray for you in this?" And that's a really good question, isn't it? How can I pray for you, Chris? Because when we seek an answer to that question, when we move towards prayer, then we begin to bring our specific troubles and we align them with the promises of God, don't we? As we move into prayer, we begin to articulate the struggles and the difficulties that we're facing, but we bring the promises of God and who God is into that place of prayer. So perhaps if you forget everything else that I've said today, remember that question, how can I pray for you? And if you come across somebody over coffee or just in conversation as you leave church, maybe that's a question that you could consider asking. We'll just look at the next slide. So how do we begin to, I see it's not maybe that clear on the screens there, but how do we understand Chris's problem of anxiety? And this kind of model helps to unpack the different issues that are going on, because the Bible makes it clear that there will be heart, you know, soul issues going on with Chris, but there will be bodily issues, there will be physical issues going on at the same time as the circumstances of life that Chris is struggling with. So what's going on with Chris? Well, circumstances are a big factor, aren't they? He's got a new job, he's been fearful through lockdown. But as well as circumstances, that there may be physical issues as well. Maybe there's something genetic there. He may have a family history of anxiety, which is relevant to him. Physically as well, he's working long hours, so he's tired. And when you're exhausted, it's harder to control some of those thoughts and feelings. And then what about matters of the soul? Of course, there should be opportunities to talk about this too. And this is the fundamental component, I suppose, that secular counselling and secular culture denies, this soul, this part of us, that is that driving force for everything that we do. So maybe in his heart, Chris is actually doubting God's love. Maybe he's questioning God's control over life when he sees so many things going wrong. Maybe Chris is seeking his worth and his satisfaction in his job, in his career, in his performance. And he's actually crushed when he fails, when his sales are not up to scratch. Perhaps he's crippled by the shame of pornography that he continues to escape into, and he feels that he doesn't deserve God's love. So all of these are themes, biblical themes, that you could begin to talk about and explore with Chris. Can we give Chris a loving ear that won't judge his doubts and questions, but will allow him, like the psalmist, to express his fears honestly with you and before God? So we want to offer help, and we do this by understanding these different components of body, of soul, of circumstances, in the heat that this person is experiencing. And we want to listen well to elements of Chris's struggle. Just the next slide there. But as we consider how to grow as a church family and our care for each other, we need to remember that, as the slide says, we need to be prepared to ask for help ourselves. Just like Zandra shared in the struggle that she was facing, she got to that point where she knew she needed help. And maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, well, I'm all right. I don't need help. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, I'm okay. Just, you know, keep your distance. But actually, we all know what it is to worry, don't we? Worry seems to be part of how we're made. We all have days when we feel down. We all have times when we struggle. And that may be on a lower level of just everyday issues, or maybe something that is profoundly debilitating. And there's something maybe about Christians and perhaps Presbyterians particularly, and I say this as a Presbyterian, we can tend to minimize our issues. You know, we can have that church face. You know, I'm fine, everything's good. You know, don't ask too many questions, don't come too close. But I believe that this honesty about how hard things are for us, honesty with the Lord and each other, is actually where growth in faith often takes place, isn't it? Those difficult times are when the Lord can bring us closer. And we experience the truth of James's words in James chapter 1 when he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, what does it do? It produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the way to maturity as Christians is actually being real about the struggles that we face, the hardships that we face, as opportunities to draw closer to Christ. So I asked that question that I asked you at the start of the service. You know, what difficult thoughts and feelings and struggles do you bring to church this morning? Are you so caught perhaps in habits or behaviors or emotions that you actually think that things could never change? Maybe you're carrying anxiety, and to share that with someone feels like weakness. Remember, God says he particularly values the weak. He wants you to see the strength that you can experience in him as you're honest about your weakness. I'm just going to move on for time's sake, but I was going to share a little bit about my own experience of having a handicapped child. And for me, asking for help for her in church was one of the most difficult things, and how God brought me to a point of realizing through his word, particularly the Beatitudes, you know, that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, taking me to that place of humility where I needed help. And actually, that was the place where I experienced care and where the Lord drew particularly close. So what about you? If we're to be effective in meeting the mental health needs of our church community and the community beyond our church walls, maybe God is saying to you, are you willing to ask for help yourself in equal measure to the help that you want to offer to others? So, as a congregation, I understand you're going to be entering a new chapter in your life and ministry, God willing, in the coming weeks and months. And so let your desire for Le Comfort be that it would increasingly be a family of believers who are real about mental health issues, because Scripture is real about it, who seek to embody that care of Christ in your care for others, and where you have the humility to ask for help yourselves. And the next time someone asks you how you are, before you say, oh, I'm fine, because that's what we do, isn't it? Just pause and think about what the real answer to that question might be, and ask God for the humility to ask openly and to answer openly and honestly. And actually be excited about the ripple effects that might come in this congregation as you begin to speak more openly and honestly about the struggles that you face. Because that will knit you closer together in this body of Christ, this wonderful vision that Paul gives us in Corinthians, to bear one another's burdens, to have the privilege of doing that, and ultimately to draw us closer to him through the struggles that we face. Amen.